والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث الصحيح: بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، وإقام الصلاة، وإيتاء الزكاة، والحج، وصوم رمضان، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصا لوجهك الكريم، آمين يا رب العالمين. My respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters at home, and listeners of Channel Islam International, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator, nourisher, and sustainer of all the worlds. May the peace and salutations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon our most beloved master, our teacher, and our guide, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had hand-selected and hand-picked to be around the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to record his every action, his every mention, and his every notion, so this deen can reach me and you in the pristine form we have it today. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. About 14 centuries ago, there was a king. And this particular king had a guest. And like all great kings, to show their greatness and to show their freedom from wanting anything from people, they honored their guests with gifts. However, this particular meeting of a king was much different. It was in the neighborhood of Jannah. It was in the place of Sidratul Muntaha. The king was the king of all kings, the king of the day of judgment, Allah Jalla Jalalu. The guest was Khairul Mursaleen, Khatamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The emissary and the messenger was none other than Jibreel Amin, and the conveyance sent by the king for the guest was the Buraq. And what was this gift that was conferred upon, this beloved guest was that of Salah. This is the value of Salah. This is the origin of Salah. It was a gift given to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by his virtue and his barakah, this gift was then given over to me and you. To the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we have lost the value of this gift. We have undermined the value of it. We have undermined the relevance and the importance of it in our daily lives. We have forgotten that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in the hadith that salah is in fact the mi'raj of every mu'min. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to present himself in the court of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalalu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and you the means and the tool to present ourselves in His court. Not once, not twice, but 5 times daily. Performance of salah is actually the proof of Iman and Islam in the heart. It is the physical manifestation that one has in his heart that he does by action to show that I worship none other than Almighty Allah. And on the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also warns us and he says, الْأَحَدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ الصَّلَاةِ. The differentiating factor between us, the covenant between us and the disbelievers, the differentiating factor is salah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. And whoever omits a salah has disbelieved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Salah is our first obligation after bringing Iman in our hearts. The first physical action that we need to inculcate in our lives and teach a person coming into Islam is Salah. In the verse we recited at the beginning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred Nubuwa on Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهِ. Indeed I am Allah. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدْنِي. There is none worthy of worship besides me. And thereafter, فَعْبُدْنِي. Worship me. How worship me? وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And establish salah for my remembrance. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam knew the value of this gift of salah. That it was the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Oh Allah, make me and make my progeny those who establish salah. Oh Allah, accept this dua of mine. They knew the value of this particular gift that was conferred upon us, but we have forgotten its value. We need to realize the value of this gift, and we need to discharge our obligation with full knowledge that by the means of this gift conferred to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be a means of us getting closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be a means of our sins being forgiven. It will be a means of sorrow, of anxiety, of difficulty, getting removed from our lives. We should discharge it with love and with fear of recompense of the akhirah. But let it not be that our salah becomes a burden in our lives. We treat it as though it is a burden and we discharge it only because it is obligation on us. We come to the masjid, that is if we come. We read our salah and immediately where the imam says, Assalamu alaikum, 1 foot is up and we are out. Is the entire world more greater than this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? Then we need to judge the type of salah for those that are reading salah. What is the type of my salah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe unto those that read salah, talking about the hypocrites. Woe unto them, curse of Allah be upon them. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. They are those who they delay in the performance of their salah out of its fixed time. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. And they are those that perform their salah so that other people can see them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our salah from being from this category. Then there is another category which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That there is another type of salah, that it is a means of protecting a person from all types of haram and indecent acts. And then, of course, there is the best type of salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to us. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ, that no soul knows, مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That no soul knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept as a secret for them in the hereafter, such a gift that will be the coolness of their eyes. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Only for those or for what you have done in the earth. Your recompense is equal to what you have done in this world. So how do we get this last type, or how do we get the special gift or special reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah as a result of our salah, that will be the coolness of our eyes? Well, it starts well before salah itself. Between salah, between one salah and the next salah, we need to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, making dhikr and in the complete remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not physically being with a tasbih in our hands and saying subhanallah, that is part of it, but living our lives in such a way that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching our every action. We need to abstain ourselves from all forms of sin. We need to guard our eyes from what we are seeing, because all those things have an impact in our salah. Well before the salah time comes upon, we need to ensure that our bodies, our clothes, and the place wherein we are going to perform salah is totally pak. We need to make a wudu. Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever makes wudu, فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءَ, but perfects his wudu. We are making wudu in such a haphazard and rushed way that we don't even know whether it is completed or not, let alone it being a beautiful wudu. These are all things that affect our salah. Then when we are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to shut ourselves from everything else that we were doing prior to this. We need to make a soul and solemn intention. Normally we come into the masjid, start our salah and carry on with the flow of the imam. But come early, stand in before the salah, make a solemn intention. Oh Allah, I'm making the salah, I'm reading the salah only for your pleasure. Then we will see the effect of that salah itself. So the first step is our actions before the salah itself. And then when it comes to the salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Glad tidings or successful are those mu'minun, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are those who are the successful mu'minin. They are those who have khushu in their salah. What is khushu? Khushu is to have total concentration while we are in salah, not to think about 100 other things that will affect our salah. So how we live our lives and how we start salah will impact on how conscious and how concentrated we are within our salah. Then to read and to perform all the postures of salah in the correct way, as prescribed to us in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, aqim as-salah. But he sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what his instructor Jibreel Amin, to teach us how to perform the salah. And we should go to the learned scholars and ask them to try and perfect our salah in every posture. Then between the postures, not to rush, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you perform a salah up and down without pausing in between your postures, it is as if though a person is stealing in his salah. Then when it comes to the recitation of the Quran Kareem, let us make a sincere effort that we are going to correct our recitation. Because let it not come on the day of Qiyamah that we read so many years of salah, but those salah are rejected in the court of Allah because our incorrect recitation, changing the meaning, invalidating our salah and not being recorded for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Besides correcting our recitation, we need the surahs that we know of the Quran Kareem. We need to make an effort to learn the meaning, so when we are reading the Quran Kareem in our salah, we understand what we are reading, and then we will be more focused. And how long are we going to satisfy ourselves with reading Quran in our salah from Alam Tara down? When are we going to make a concerted effort to increase our memorization of the Quran Kareem? Different surahs of the Quran Kareem, different parts of the noble Quran Kareem, so that we may increase in our salah, because there is so the surahs can only make our salah so long. Learn other surahs so we can make our salah a little longer, so little longer we are in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the post-salah stage is that as soon as the salah is made, unfortunately, when the second salam is made, our legs are standing up and we are out and we are rushing out of our masjids to carry on our daily lives, as if though it was a burden upon us. Let us sit after the salam. There are prescribed things that we should read. Make istighfar, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfill your obligation with a heavy heart and with a desire only to return a little while later. Part of those people that will sit under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those qalbuhu muta'allikum bil masajid. Their hearts are attached to the masjid. When is the next salah? When am I going back to the masjid? When am I going to present myself back in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi used to say very beautifully, and he used to say that salah begins when we leave the masjid. What he meant was that how in salah, from our takbiratul tahrima, we made everything that was even permissible, impermissible for us. How we put ourselves in the total obedience of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how we followed every action based on the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we walk out of that door, that's when our salah should start. That's when we need to carry on from that one salah till the next salah in such a state that we are obeying all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, staying away from sin and following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We said a little earlier, إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. That salah, if performed correctly, will prevent prevent a person from reading such a salah. It will prevent a person from any form of haram and indecent acts. If our salah is not preventing us from indecent and haram acts, then we need to ask ourselves, what is the condition of my salah? And then we need to make a concerted effort to rectify our salah so that we may be among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised a special reward in the day of Qiyamah and in Jannatul Firdaus. That will be a coolness to our eyesight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and make our progenies steadfast in salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an accepted salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that our hearts and our eyes find contentment in salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such that whenever we are faced with any difficulty or worry or concern in our hearts, we immediately resort to salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq of practicing what was said. Whatever was said that was correct is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever was incorrect that was said is from myself and shaitan. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.